A couple weeks ago, one of my sons was working on an essay for class, and he had been putting a lot of time into it, and he was like editing it, and my wife, Jen, had spent a ton of time working with him on it. She's a English teacher by training. This is like her jam. They worked and worked and worked, and it was super good. And then they called me in on it for like a last minute kind of outside read, and I'm going through it with them too, and I'm all excited. And I think I edited like a comma. That's all of my addition was. But it was like, this is good. And then he turned it in, and he was going to find out what he got the next day. And then I had a really busy day the next day. And then we came to dinner, and we were sitting down to dinner together. And I was all over the place. I was scattered. My phone was right next to me at the table for controlling the playlist, I said. But then obviously all the other things that are on the phone are on the phone. Which is just really a tie into like the insanity of life and the day and the world and coronavirus or whatever else is happening. And the conversation is ensuing, and partway through, I noticed that my son was talking, but I wasn't listening to anything that he was saying, though I was looking at him. And I wasn't even aware that I wasn't listening. And when he finished saying what he said, I was like, hey, how'd that essay go today? And Jen looked at me and she's like, he just told us everything about how the essay went. And you were looking at him and you didn't listen to a thing that he said. Have you ever had that situation, or have you ever experienced the kind of thing, like an ongoing reality that you're literally right next to someone physically, but like miles away from them emotionally and like relationally? We went snowboarding recently with our kids, and I was with my little one, and he and I were riding up the chairlift together after being together all day, and like there's a point when like the conversation's just flying, you know, and then they just kind of, like, we're exhausted. We're riding up, and at one point, he turns to me, and he's like, starts saying something, and then he says, he was essentially saying the things that I was saying, but I didn't realize I was saying them. And he says to me, why are you talking to yourself, Daddy? And I was like, what? Like, I didn't know that I was talking to myself. Like, I was so in my head riding next to him that I was talking to myself, and I was actually verbalizing the words and was even unaware that I was doing it. And he was, like, parroting the same words that I was saying. Luckily, it wasn't anything inappropriate for my little fella. Just processing things that I was thinking about with work and life. And I had no idea that I was even talking out loud. I mean, have you ever been in a situation where you're sitting with someone that you love more than anything else in the world and you realize that you're only just talking to yourself? We had a baseball game yesterday for my little one, and a number of families are on this team who are in this church, which make it really fun. And the dads are like coaching together, and we just stepped up to the next level of competitive play, and it was intense. It's my third go-round on this thing, so I know what's coming in terms of intensity with parents and coaches, and because it's all still dads who are coaching, so the level of intensity is just out of control. It's as if dads have unresolved issues in their life, especially with competitive sports, and a massive amount of anxiety, and their kids are just stand-ins for their own battle with each other. Watch next time. Feel next time when you're there. This is the case, and it, like, things got intense. Our side was intense, their side was intense, and a number of things happened throughout the course of the game that I kind of chuckled at, but then there was a moment when a coach on the other team actually came up and, like, accused one of our coaches of cheating. He's like, it's the first game, and they're 8. He's like, I noticed the lineup got all your hitters, like, over and over again, huh? And like you're cheating right now by like batting kids out of order so you can try to win the game that we're not keeping score in. Like, it doesn't count. Like, literally, there's no score. And our guy's all, nah, man. They can all just hit the ball. And it was like, those moments. And I laughed, and then I was driving home, and I found myself getting like really upset about it. Like, I got really upset internally. And I started thinking through, like, what I would say to this person if it would have been me, and what I should have said and what I would have done and the confrontation that should have happened. And then I found myself very upset and kind of, like, tingly in my hands a little bit. I was like, what in the world? where did that come from? Like, where in the world did that come from? And I found myself all worked up and even anxious in the evening. And Jen was laughing because I got into this conversation where I'm like all internally like frustrated. She's like, you just got yourself whipped up in an anxious frenzy right there. Like, what's going on? And I stopped and I realized as she went to bed and I was thinking about this morning, kind of processing what was coming, that there's a lot of stuff under there, actually. We've had all kinds of weird things in our house, like pipe leaks and slab leaks and roof leaks and all these unexpected things that are happening in life. And, like, all that's just kind of bubbling beneath the surface, and it all just kind of, I didn't realize it was in there. Have you ever found yourself reacting to a situation or a person in a way entirely out of proportion to the context of what's actually going on and wondered where in the world that came from? And then actually had the realization that maybe you're a little bit out of tune with your own soul. Like, you don't know what's in there. Right? We're talking about presence. We're talking about presence this month. We're in a new month, and we're talking about what it means to be present. We're calling it the presence experience, but if you're just joining us, we're on a really fun ride over the course of the year where we're taking one month at a time and we're talking about one thing, one message, and we're drilling it like deeper and deeper and further in different layers and layers and angles, like as we're actually attempting to become this thing. Rather than talking about a lot of stuff that we never do, we want to actually become the people and the things that we talk about. So we're slowing it way down and we're just tackling one thing for a month. Last month was grace. This month, we're talking about presence. And presence is how you show up. If I was going to define it quite simply. Presence is how you show up to yourself. Presence is how you show up to the Spirit of God. And presence is how you show up to other people. It's how you show up. Presence is your level of awareness. Presence is your level of depth and connection. It's your level of availability to yourself and your openness to be in relationship and connection with other people. That's what presence is. And in a lot of ways, your understanding and your availability of your own presence, your ability to be present to yourself and to God and other people, I mean, that is a beginning. And it's actually a determining factor in your own spiritual journey. It's a determining factor in your availability to be transformed by the Spirit of God. It's a determining factor in your ability to connect to the living God and with other people around you. And so much keeps us from being fully present to ourselves. And so much keeps us from being present to God in the world around us. It almost feels like the world is organized in such a way to intentionally keep you from being present. Which is why Jesus says in Matthew 13, you'll be ever hearing but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they've closed their eyes. Ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never actually hearing. He calls them the blind. He's like, it's like you're all blind. You see everything, but you see nothing. You aren't even available of yourself, much less God and the world around you. From like chronic busyness to overcommitment to work to social life, kids' activities and sports. It feels like all kids' sports are year-round activities now. As if they're the only thing that existed in the world, as if you didn't have other children or a marriage or a life or a job or a community or anything really. To distraction in life, from like overconnection and comparison to overstimulation to just lives of general obligation to anxiety from worrying about things that you can never actually affect in your life. So much keeps us from being present in our lives. And we often self-medicate to check out and deal with it rather than actually becoming present. And so we medicate with substances like alcohol and marijuana, or recently I read that at least before the opioid crisis was being checked, 300 million opioid prescriptions a year in the United States, which is the same as the amount of people, which is a way of self-medicating, or instead we distract ourselves to death in a sort of technological hurricane of insanity. With streaming and social media and online shopping, and we each have a supercomputer in our pocket that connects to orbiting devices in space and every other like thing in the world all at one time. Like the entire history of the world of knowledge available in your fingertips with a voice command. Amazing. Highly distracting. Last I read, the average smartphone user touches, pinches, swipes their phone 2,617 times a day, which is a million times a year. And the highest 10% among us are actually double that number. More than half of all smartphone users check their phones between midnight and 5 a.m. regularly. You have an average of 76 sessions with your phone a day. And for power users, this would go as high as like 132 sessions a day on average, statistically. Turns out they're tracking every time you touch it on the other end. And probably everything else about you as well. That's a whole nother conversation. Don't start me there, please. It does feel like the whole world's conspiring, doesn't it? to keep us from slowing down to be present. And yet if we're a people of Jesus, who Jesus says, abide with me, and me and you, be connected to the vine, from that you'll bear fruit. If you don't, you won't bear fruit. Where do we begin when it comes to being present? Psalm 46:10 says this: "Be still and know that I am God, and I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." It says, "Be still and know that I am God." We are a people desperately in need of being taught how to be still. We're a people that are desperately in need of being led into the stillness of the presence of God. And that's hard if you aren't used to that. Like if you enter into a slow space, if you're used to running fast, it's an awkward sort of tense space until you figure out what to do in it. Ephesians 1:18 says this. This is one of my favorite scriptures. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far and above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Right? That is powerful. Like the power of the living God that raised Jesus from the dead, the power of the resurrection is available. But the very first thing, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. I pray that the eyes of your heart would be open. I pray that you would be present enough to even be able to see what I'm talking about. Right? I pray that the eyes of your heart would be open so that you could actually see God and yourself and the world for what they actually are. I read that prayer as a desperate cry to learn how to be present in your life so that all the other stuff that he says would actually be true of you. Not that it isn't already true, it's just that you absolutely can't see it and experience it because you're moving too fast. I pray the eyes of your heart would be open. Be still and know that I'm God. So then I would say, well, how would we begin that? What would that look like? And so what we want to do over the course of this month is actually each week, each Sunday, is to teach a little, but also then to enter into like a guided experience of presence together. That's what we want to do. And I would actually argue that being still actually starts with your breath. In both Greek and in Hebrew. In Greek, the word is pneuma, and Hebrew, the word is ruach. The word for spirit is the same word for wind. It's the same word for breath. So when we're talking about your breath, we're talking about simultaneously you breathing in and out, but also the spirit of God that's available to you. Which is why Jesus says, when Nicodemus is asking about how to inherit the kingdom in the book of John, he says, you have to be born again. And he's like, I gotta be born again. And he's like, you're not getting it. And then he says, the spirit's like, yeah, you have to be born of the spirit, and the spirit's like the wind. The whole thing's a play on words, because it's the same word for wind and spirit and breath. When you read in Genesis, when God creates the world and makes humanity, says he breathes spirit into the being, which is wild picture. It all starts with our breath. Did you know that intentional breathing just generally has the power to actually direct and access and control your like inner state of being? If you could learn to breathe, which I think is a forgotten art and skill, honestly, if you could learn to breathe as a part of your spiritual discipline of being present to yourself and to God, you actually have the power to access and control and direct your sort of inner state as you're learning to connect with God. Not be subject to it, like wildly subject to your own anxieties and emotions and fears, but actually to grab hold of those things. Like it says in Corinthians, take every thought captive. I think learning to breathe is actually a massive part of that. With breathwork, you can actually intentionally raise your energy level internally or lower it and create a calming effect that can bring you into a present state. There's established research that actually says breathwork can reduce symptoms associated with anxiety, insomnia, and depression. And they actually say it can confer greater immunity, recovery from injury, and relief from chronic pain in your life just from learning how to breathe. We haven't even got to connecting with the living God. My friend who works as a therapist told me that breathwork is one of the main go-to therapeutic tools that helps clients deal with stress and depression and anxiety in their life. Another friend of mine who's a fitness trainer and CrossFit coach says that breathwork's key in controlling your heart rate and your mental state when they're in competition. That if you breathe in through your nose slow and out through your mouth slow, you actually have the ability to lower your heart rate so that you can be more present to what you're trying to do in the moment. It's all just learning to breathe. It's just wild. Learning to be present starts with our breath and learning to breathe in a lot of ways. Did you know that 90% of human energy comes from your breathing? So often we think about like our sleep, we think about the food that we eat. 90% of the energy that you use throughout the course of your day actually comes from your breath. It drives your nervous system, it controls your heart rate, it delivers oxygen to your body's cells. And did you know that we have 6 liters, a human being has 6 liters, these are each 1 liter. 6 liters of lung capacity on average in our bodies, but on average, humans in our day and age only operate on 2. Think about that. You have 6, but we choose 2 because we have shallow, short breaths and we don't actually use anything that God's given us when it comes to learning how to breathe, which means you're like effectively cutting 2/3 of the available energy to your body, at any given moment, to your thought processes, to your engagements with other people, to like whatever activities you're doing, just to being present. Like, it's wild how much we sell ourselves short. It's like we forgot over time, and we breathe shallow, disconnected lives. But if you look at a baby, watch how a baby breathes. They access their diaphragm naturally, because we're made this way, and watch their stomach rise and fall every breath that they take. Because they're learning to, like, they know intuitively from the beginning how God made them to breathe with their full lung capacity. Just at some point, we stop doing it, and we breathe shallow, quick breaths, and it's disconnected lives. And so I would say learning to be present actually starts with our breath and learning to breathe. So what I want to do is actually leave the teaching there for the morning, and I want to sort of push pause so we can enter into a guided experience together of learning how to breathe. I'm going to pick it up next week from here as we continue to move forward, but I actually want to invite us into a guided experience of learning how to breathe, to be connected to ourselves and to the Spirit of God in like a state of examine. Ezekiel 37:5 says, I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. It says, I'll make breath enter you and you'll come to life. I'll attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin, and I'll put breath in you and you'll come to life. And then you'll know that I am the Lord. It's this prophecy of God's people and the exile that's coming, but what will come after that is I'll put breath in you and you'll come back to life. I want to teach you to breathe deep so that you can let God's Spirit enter you so you can come to life and you can learn how to be present to yourself. It's a tool that is much more than simply an exercise we do together on a Sunday, but actually a way of life that we could learn how to access and live. I want to teach you to be present to yourself so that you can be free to be present to God and other people. And it's something that comes in practice. It's something like I give so much of my intentional time to doing this, and I still find myself at the dinner table going, and so how did the essay go? in that terrible moment. It's a practice that takes a long time. You're not going to get it licked in a moment or a second or an experience one off. But learning to practice this can actually create a different way of being in your life. And then Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, when he's talking about communion, he says each person should examine themselves. And what we're going to do is actually go through a breath sort of contemplative exercise together. It's a spiritual practice that's been practiced in the church for a very long time. And then I want to lead us from that state into a prayer of examine together. And it's something that we often send you out to do on your own. And what I've heard from a lot of people is, man, that's something I really want to do. I just don't have time for it. Well, dang, I just carved out a couple minutes right here so we can do it together in a new way. And maybe some of you guys are like, yes, we're finally doing this. And others of you are like, holy mother, Phil just went off the deep end. We're doing like, is he going to start ringing weird bells? Are we doing, is he going to pull out like a weird yogi robe? We're doing breath work? No. This is a part of the Christian tradition that's often been lost in the evangelical church. And it's just a call to be centered and to be present. The evangelical tradition is constantly trying to get itself like disembodied into an idea. And the call of God is actually to be fully embodied in the present moment, which is what learning to breathe actually does. It centers you and allows you to recognize you alive now in the presence of God and the presence of God in you and what God's doing in you and the world around you. It's learning an embodied kind of faith. So, practically then, this is what we're going to do. Are you ready?
Yeah.
There's a bucket at the end of each aisle, outsides and here in the middle. I would like you to take out your phone, and I would like you to put it on vibrator silent mode, and we're going to pass the bucket down the aisle, and I'd like you to put it in the bucket. And we're going to put the bucket at the end of each row. I know for some of us, you're panicking right now. We've gone too far. It's too much. Some of you feel like I just cut your hand off. If you need your phone for like a medical condition or something of the nature, that's okay. I understand. It's not a legalism. Just put it in your bag or something. Others of you who are going to lie to yourself and everybody else that you have a medical condition right now to keep your phone in your bag, Jesus knows your heart, and you're a liar, and I'm going to let you deal with that and what's about to come in the prayer of examine. That'll probably be where you start. Did we make it? Second, let me explain how we're going to do this breathing thing. We're going to take 5 minutes to go through a breathing exercise together, and then I'm going to lead you into a guided examine together, like prayer of examine. I've intentionally spread you around the room because I'm trying to give you a little bit of space. That's why it's so wide, because it, obviously we're a community, and it's a communal experience together, but this morning is learning to be present to ourselves and recognizing the presence of God at work in our own hearts, so I'm trying to give you a little bit of space to do that. We put a pair of earplugs under every chair or on every chair when you came in. You can grab those now, but don't put them in yet. I'm not done. I'll tell you when. We're going to do a series of long, slow inhales through our nose. We're going to hold it for 2 seconds and then long, slow exhale out of our mouth. And we're going to do that, and I'm going to count them. I'm going to lead us through it. I'm not going to do the breathing with you because I'm trying to count and keep us on track here. But we're going to do that 20 times. This is about 5 minutes. And then after that, I'm going to lead you through a guided experience together. We're going to inhale for about 6 seconds through your nose, hold it for 2 seconds, and 7 seconds back out through your mouth. And I'm going to count it off as we do it. The point of the earplugs is you'd put them in your ears because there's a power in being able to hear yourself breathe in that way that actually centers you. Now, some things are going to happen. You can close your eyes because often that helps, because the whole point is to become centered and to be present to yourself as we head into this like prayer of examine. Pay attention to how your body resists when you do this. You have the capacity, like humans have the capacity to hold our breath for 15 minutes now. It's a new world record. We're talking 7 seconds. Pay attention to how your body resists that. Part of it is just like muscle. Like if you don't ever use your diaphragm, it's going to be uncomfortable to start using it with deep breaths. And part of that is just, I think, something in us resisting, slowing down and being present. It's hard to slow down and open up. Two, if you're like me, you're going to be like, okay, when are we going to get there? Let's get through this breathing. Let's get through the word 10. We're at 11. You are already there. But seriously, you're not going to get there. You're already there. It isn't like when you finish the breathing, we'll get to question 3. Then I'm going to get to the good. The whole thing's the good stuff. Just be present to where you are and experience it fully right now. Slow down and be present. It can produce anxiety in that sense. It's okay. Just breathe through it. Your mind, if you aren't accustomed to this, is going to, like a million thoughts are going to race through your mind, whether they're from you or even like things will come up, like the Satan means the accuser when you talk about the enemy. So all kinds of accusatory thoughts could begin to rise in terms of resistance in your own mind. Don't fight them. Don't judge them. Don't do anything with it. Just name it and brush it aside. Recognize it and brush it aside. Just name it and move it aside. Just let it come like a whiteboard. Just whoop, wipe it off. And just continue to focus on the breathing, and then we'll head into a space of prayer together. Does that sound good? You pop the earplugs in. If a phone's in a bucket and goes off, it's going to be weird. But that's all right. So you can close your eyes. So inhale, long. Now hold it. Exhale. In through your nose, out through your mouth. Inhale. Hold it. Exhale. 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 Imagine it's like the Spirit of God that you're breathing in. Inhale. Hold it. Exhale. Inhale. Hold it. Exhale. You're breathing out your anxieties. Inhale. Hold it. Exhale. Breathing in the Spirit, you're breathing out. I got lost somewhere. Inhale. Exhale. We're about halfway. Inhale. Hold it. Exhale. 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 Inhale. Four more times. Hold it. Exhale. Inhale. Hold it. Exhale. Two more times. Inhale. Hold it. Exhale. Inhale. Hold it. Exhale. Do you notice how your, it's like as your lungs expanded in capacity, you could take in more air and you get further and further into your own sort of head and spirit and space. So now I'm going to lead you into a prayer of examine. And the prayer of examine, it's an ancient prayer. Could you put up the next slide? St. Ignatius came up with this, and you would consider like a period of time. Often it's a day or it could be a week. So we're going to talk about the last 7 days. And the idea is, I'm going to ask you a series of questions that you would reflect upon. And the idea is you're examining your own actions and thoughts and emotions and encounters with other people, yourself and God throughout the day. Because the point is, if Jesus says, love the Lord your God like you love yourself, often we aren't even aware of what's going on in ourselves, much less God or other people in the world. And it's allowing you to access what you're doing, what's happening, and how you're interacting and engaging with what God's doing within you. And so it takes you through a process of engagement. So I'm going to put up questions and leave it up for a couple minutes and take you through a series of reflections. And I'm just going to encourage you to continue breathing slow. As things come up, don't interpret or justify or rationalize them. Just observe and remember what's there. And again, you can't get there. You're already there, so just enter into it. Would you put the first one up? When did you feel most anxious? And when did you feel most alive? Over the last 7 days. move us on to the next question. Where were you cooperating most fully with God's actions in your life? And where were you resisting in the last 7 days? Not all of these questions will connect with you, and that's okay. You can connect with the ones that do. Or spend longer than you need on, than we have on other questions. It's fine. Where were you cooperating most fully? Where were you resisting? Put the next line up. What habits and life patterns do you notice from the last 7 days? An administrative note that I forgot to mention, because your phones are in the bucket, if the kids ministry needs to get a hold of you for your child, they're going to put the number on the screen in the corner. It'll be on your ticket. Like that. What habits and life patterns do you notice in the last 7 days? Can you put the next one up? When was your greatest sense of belonging? And when did you feel most alone in the last 7 days? Put the next one up. When did you give and receive love? So up to this point, we've been just engaging the Spirit in our own soul and reflecting, and now we're transitioning for the next couple of minutes into what we're going to do with all of that that God's brought up in your own heart. And so could you put the next slide up? What do you need to release in order to move on? Or where do you need to seek forgiveness or forgive? Put the next one up. Where do you need to ask for direction or share concerns? Where do you need to express gratitude? And lastly, how do you want to live your life differently tomorrow? We're going to transition into a space of worship and response through singing. It's a rare and beautiful thing to experience silence with this many people together for that long. That's intentional. And there's like a palpable awareness of the Spirit of God. And there's, oddly, though it's an individualistic journey, it's quite communal at the same time. Because if you can connect with what God's doing in you, it's what frees you up to connect with what God's doing with us. And so I would encourage you to take that same sense of God's presence and awareness and carry that into a worship experience together, just as we respond through singing. This is a tool that you can take with you, that you can practice, you can draw on at any time. A lot of people do it multiple times throughout the day. Some people just take this kind of breathing and utilize it intentionally throughout their day, just to be aware of God's presence in their life, which is fantastic. It's one thing to talk about being present for an hour and a half on a Sunday. It's another thing to actually do it. So would you guys stand with us as we head into a space of worship?